believe in the blood of Jesus, washes white as snow. I believe that the power of the gospel still makes the broken whole. And the curse of sin was broken when they rolled away that stone. I believe, I believe, I believe. As I bow before you, Lord, I will rise in confidence. I will see your goodness, Lord, in the land I'm living in. No matter where I'm going, no matter where I've been, I will see your goodness, Lord, in the land I'm living in. Yes, I will see your goodness, Lord, in the land I'm living in. I believe that the walls will start falling when we fall down on our knees. I believe that the lame will start walking and the blind begin to see. And the gates of hell will tremble when the church begins to sing. I believe, I believe, I believe. As I bow before you, Lord, I will rise in confidence. I will see your goodness, Lord, in the land I'm living in. No matter where I'm going, no matter where I've been, I will see your goodness, Lord, in the land I'm living in. As I bow before you, Lord, I will rise in confidence. I will see your goodness, Lord, in the land I'm living in. No matter where I'm going, no matter where I've been, I will see your goodness, Lord, in the land I'm living in. I will see your goodness, Lord, in the land I'm living in. Yes, I will see your goodness, Lord, in the land I'm living in. I will see your goodness, Lord, in the land I'm living in. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon this I seek, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing this my plea, nothing, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, I said nothing, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, nothing, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
So much to be grateful to God for, you know it? The fact that His faithfulness is eternal, that His goodness is eternal, that His love and His mercies, which are new every morning. We also have to be grateful that God sent His one and only Son to shed His blood on Calvary's cross, making it all possible for us to be reconciled to Him. Pray you were blessed with those two songs. Hope everybody had a good week. Glad it's officially spring now, even though it's felt like it for the past month. Looking forward to this season. We got Good Friday coming up and Easter or Resurrection Sunday. We not only remember the fact that Jesus did die on Calvary's cross for us, but He resurrected on that third day, giving us new life in Him. But you know, when you think about Jesus' journey of faith, He had to suffer more than we can comprehend. That includes crucifixion itself. But it's a lot like ours. You know, he had to face the trials we have to face. Situations he had to endure. Just like us. Journey of faith isn't always easy. But you know what? God gives us the strength and ability to endure it. Amen? Well, we're going to continue talking this week about what we started talking about last time. The days of Noah and how Jesus compared them to the state of the world before he returns. Specifically, we're going to be focusing on Noah himself and how he had to exercise faith and endure so much in such dark and turbulent times. Before we do, let's go before God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we just thank you for your presence. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you that your mercies are new every morning. We thank you that because of love, you allowed your Son to pay the ultimate price for us. We thank you for the fact that he did rise from the dead, that we do have new life in him. We thank you for your living word. We thank you for your written word that guides us, that comforts us, that strengthens us, that warns us. I ask, Lord, that you will give us ears to hear what it says and anoint me in presenting it in a way that brings you honor and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. I want to read the foundational passage again that I read the last time. Matthew 24:37-39. Jesus says this, as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And they didn't know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. So last week we started talking about that this chapter was when Jesus was discussing with his disciples on the Mount of Olives the signs leading up to his return. And among these signs he mentions what the state of the world will be like before he returns. And he likens it to the days of Noah. And we started talking about the world of Noah's day. The sexual perversion, the violence. Talked about what the sons of God were, what the giants were. You can look at that and go back to the previous episode and listen to it again. But it was a world, a society plagued with such evil. But in this rebellious world where people had no regard for God or his ways, there was one man who did. Now he wasn't perfect by any means, any more than we are. He was righteous the same way we're righteous, by faith in God, in a world and an environment where most weren't. And I'm sure he was pressured to conform, or at least try to compromise some, to the ungodliness of his generation. But he was also called by God to be distinct, like we are, in character and in lifestyle. Podcast Bible teacher that I listen to pretty regular. His name is Stephen Davies. And he said this when he was talking about an episode on Noah, paraphrasing what he said, but Noah's example shows us that our culture shouldn't rewrite our character. In other words, what Paul said in Romans 12, don't conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I'm sure Noah was tempted to give in to these pressures sometimes. You know, we're in the world, but like Noah, we shouldn't allow the beliefs, the conduct of those around us to influence us or pollute us. Because more often than not, we pick up bad habits and we allow people's bad influences to rub off on us instead of our good ones rubbing off on them. But you know, also, Noah had a long line of godly ancestors. Some of them we assume who were men of righteousness. Well, like Noah's father, for instance, he lamented the curse of sin and was looking forward to how the Lord, through Noah, would bring relief. So I assume Noah's father was a man of righteousness. We assume Methuselah was, his grandfather. We know he was the longest living human being. And we're going to talk about the name Methuselah in a little bit and how it's prophetic of the coming judgment in those days. But you also had Enoch. Enoch walked with God. In fact, Enoch was the one who was raptured, like later on Elijah was. He didn't taste of death. Also, when you look in the book of Jude, Enoch was a prophet. He prophesied end times judgment before the Messiah comes. Now, I'm sure this prophecy also dealt with the judgment that would come on the ungodly in his day. But there was also Enosh. There was Seth, a time when people began to call on the name of the Lord. These were men of righteousness. So you see, this righteousness, this faith in God was passed down from generation to generation until Noah. In fact, in the law of God later on, he told the children of Israel to pass down their faith from generation to generation. It's no different now. Now, passing down faith from one to another doesn't save anybody. But it does help to lay that foundation. It was this legacy of faith that laid the foundation for Noah to be able to walk with God in such dark times. God spoke to Noah. Now remember, there was no Bible. There was no written word of God at that time. But Noah knew God. He had a relationship with God and he knew his voice. Remember what Jesus said in John 10, "My sheep know my voice." Those who are in close relationship with God know his voice. Noah knew it. How God spoke to him, we don't know. His ancestors before that and even after that to people like Abraham. Maybe it was through dreams or visions, but however God spoke to Noah, he first revealed to Noah what he planned on doing to such a wicked world, the judgment that he planned on pouring out. But he also gave Noah a strange command. Strange at that time because people had never seen a flood. Maybe never even seen rain. A lot of things God tells us on our journey of faith don't make sense. But it always goes back to God having to remind us time and again, for example, through prophets like Isaiah in chapter 55. His ways and thoughts are higher than ours. Submit to his will even when it don't make sense to us. But God told Noah to build this gigantic structure, this ark, 450 foot long, 75 foot wide, 45 foot high. And God was going to use this ark to preserve Noah, his family, and a remnant of animals from the coming judgment to repopulate the earth. But you see, time and again, not only Noah had faith in God, but he obeyed God. He did what God commanded. And God gave a blueprint, exact details of how to build this ark, down to what wood to use, down to how to make it waterproof. And you notice what it says here. God himself brought the animals to Noah. The animals came to him. Noah didn't have to go out and try to catch them or gather them to bring them to the ark. Can you imagine that? Noah or anybody for that matter trying to do something like that. Look, I have puppies. It's hard enough to try to get them to obey simple commands sometimes like no, stay. And all these animals weren't just tame. They were wild animals too. And if God could speak through donkeys, if he could command fish and whales, he could direct these animals to the ark like he did. But from a human perspective, a lot of this made no sense whatsoever. And if Noah wasn't weird enough to those around him, here he had this bizarre project going on. I can only imagine them making fun of him, ridiculing him, saying things or thinking things like, "This man has a screw loose." But you know, the Holy Spirit, through Peter, in one of his letters, warns that in the last days there are going to be scoffers. There are going to be people who will ridicule and persecute us for believing, preaching, and teaching God's word, the rapture, the tribulation, the second coming of Christ. But here was Noah. He was working hard, serving God, and having to endure endless ridicule and, I'm sure, persecution. But God gave him the strength and ability to endure, to persevere by faith. And that don't mean that his faith didn't waver at times. I'm sure he had sleepless nights of anxiety, of worry, probably wondering, was this really God telling me to do this crazy thing, or is that just in my head? Look, when you look at Peter, David, John the Baptist even had moments of doubt, just like I'm sure Noah did, just like we do. It's human nature. Manifesting genuine faith, walking in obedience to God in a fallen world is challenging. It's difficult. You know, it's a journey of hard sacrifice, full of mountains but also valleys. How strong would our faith be if, like Noah, everybody around us hated us, ridiculed us, persecuted us? You know, we talk about the early Christians and the persecution they faced. There are people around the world today who have to endure such battle-hardened faith. And it's going to get worse. But Noah was given the strength and ability by God to never quit, to keep on keeping on. And he'll do the same for us if we submit to him on this journey of faith. But on top of Noah's weird project, the Holy Spirit through Peter, in his second letter, the second chapter, the fifth verse, says that Noah, during this time building the ark, was a preacher of righteousness. So according to these people, I'm sure, around him, they had to deal with this madman rambling, telling him to get right with God or face the judgment to come. Noah and Enoch both were preachers of righteousness. No converts, by the way. Talk about discouraging. But you know, when Noah finally finished the ark, God didn't tell him to go in. You notice what Scripture says. He says, come in the ark. Remember the episode where the Holy Spirit led me to share the storms of life? I was talking about that Jesus was in the boat with the disciples. God was in the ark with Noah. Even though Noah himself built it, God himself shut the door when Noah and his family and the animals entered the ark. Now, did the judgment of flood immediately start? Nope. No, 7 days. 7 days of waiting, 7 days of wondering, something's going to happen or this ain't looking good. 7 days, I'm sure, bright sunny days, people outside the ark ridiculing, laughing at Noah. Boy, the rain's really coming down now, isn't it? But you know, no way could anybody outside or inside the ark have known or have been prepared for the devastation of the judgment that was about to take place. But you know, people were caught off guard outside the ark. Here they were, minding their own business, doing their own thing, with no regard for God or his ways, acting like nothing was wrong, no day of reckoning or judgment would come for them. And you know, here we see a picture not only of God's justice and judgment, but his mercy. He gave people time to repent, time to get right with him. And unfortunately, they wouldn't. Well, that's like in the last days. God has given people time now, but it's going to come to an end. The tribulation will come, just like with the flood. That judgment of flood was about to begin. But you know, even you look at the name Methuselah. Now we're going to get back to that. Many scholars believe that Methuselah's name meant, when he is gone, it shall be sent. What shall be sent? The judgment. So Methuselah's name is prophetic that the year, basically, or the time that he dies, that's when the flood comes. So I'm sure Methuselah probably died around the time Noah had finished the ark. So you see, these people were given warning by God through Noah to get right with him. And they were also given signs like the death of Methuselah, that judgment is coming. But they refused to repent. And this judgment begins. Not only from above, but from beneath. Geysers of water exploding from beneath. Not only dry ground, but I'm sure oceans too. One of the sources I read on this described it probably as earthquake-driven tsunamis were taking place during this time. Can you imagine that? Probably killing millions right away. Then the floodgates of the skies opened. There was no escape. Everything and everyone outside the ark was being destroyed, killed. Can you imagine the panic, the crying, the wailing of the people outside the ark? Probably some of them banging on the ark door, wanting in, pleading to get in. But it was too late. The death toll, we can't even imagine. The stench after a while outside the ark, we can't comprehend. But this nonstop judgment lasted 40 days and 40 nights. But God was in the ark with Noah, as well as pouring out the judgment on those outside. But he was in the ark with Noah. And everybody in the ark, Noah and his family, even the animals, were safe. God brought them through it, just like he brings us through storms of life. He brought them through that storm. He kept them floating on the rapidly rising waters. But after the 40 days and 40 nights, the waters gradually began to recede. And after about a year, everyone on the ark finally departed. And what was the first thing Noah did? Out of gratitude, he worshiped God. He sacrificed the clean animals. You see, God had two of the unclean of each of the animals go in the ark, but seven of the clean. And I'm sure some of these clean animals Noah used for sacrifice. Wait a minute, though. That really wasn't introduced later on to the children of Israel with the Levitical laws, right? Apparently not. Apparently the sacrificial system and the Levitical laws were first introduced to Adam, and all of that was passed down from generation to generation. So it was just reinforced later on to the children of Israel. But here was Noah anyway, and all those in the ark stepping out on a brand new earth. Now the carnage and the aftermath was horrific, to say the least. But God was giving the world and mankind a fresh start. And God made a covenant with Noah and the rest of creation that he would never destroy the earth again by way of flood. Now the Holy Spirit, once again, through Peter, in the second letter, in the second chapter, tells us that the world will be destroyed again by fire. But God gave a sign of this covenant that he'll never destroy the earth again by flood. And this sign was a rainbow. You know, it's sickening what people have twisted it to represent now. But we see that through the imperfection of Noah, his sons, and their descendants, and how they once again plunged the world into a state of rebellion against God, sin was still a problem. Mankind was still in need of a Savior. And Jesus himself, who not only descended from Adam and Eve, but came from Noah's lineage, through his sinless life, death, resurrection, ascension, made it possible for us to be saved. And we thank God for that. Well, I've given, about as much as I can, a vivid description of the world before and after the flood. A people who habitually sinned and refused to repent. We also saw a man of righteousness who sought to live for God by faith in such dark times. We saw God himself, God of justice, and a God of mercy who shows loving kindness to those like Noah who put their trust in him. And you know, when you read on God's judgment during this time, you don't see him pour it out like a tyrant. You don't see a spiteful God who was in a bad mood. No. You see a broken-hearted father grieved over what mankind, his crowning creation, had become. You see a broken-hearted father who had to pour out this judgment, not because he wanted to, but because he was obligated to. He was hurt. He was grieved. That's the picture the Holy Spirit shows us when you read Genesis chapter 6 through 9. God is sovereign. His ways are holy. All his deeds are righteous. That's why he can be just and merciful at the same time. Something we don't fully comprehend. But we go back to what I said earlier. God's ways and thoughts are higher than ours. We submit to his rule. We submit to his authority, even when it don't make sense. And yes, sometimes even when it sounds harsh and cruel. But after Easter, we're going to conclude this series where Jesus compares the world of Noah's day to the state of the world before he returns. But anyway, I enjoyed our time together today, and I look forward to next time when I'll be sharing Resurrection Sunday episode, whatever God puts upon my heart. I pray everybody has a blessed week. And once again, for anybody who hadn't subscribed to this podcast on Spotify, I'd appreciate it if you do so.